www.voiceamanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceamanywaters.org. Agri Enterprises Incorporated in Fort Collins reminds listeners, if you're texting while driving, you're on your way to becoming a statistic. People who text while driving have a crash risk 23 times greater than those who don't. If you must read or send a text, pull over to a safe place out of the stream of traffic. Take time to stop so your life doesn't. This message is from Agri Enterprises Incorporated in Fort Collins. Always looking out for the safety of our community. Call 970-221-2607.
Well, I'm standing here at the American Freedom Network, and with us as every Friday morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, thank you so much for being with us, and what are the major stories we're going to be covering today?
Well, the major story of the World Affairs Brief coming out shortly is setting the stage for inserting troops into Libya. The U.S. is falsely claiming that it has taken a backseat role to NATO in the offensive operations in Libya. But even the normally pro-government New York Times revealed, quote, the Pentagon officials disclosed Wednesday that the American warplanes had continued to strike targets in Libya, even after the Obama administration had claimed the U.S. was stepping back from offensive missions and letting NATO take the lead. Well, of course, you know, there's fudge language in stepping back. Technically, he can claim, well, that doesn't mean we're going to stop altogether, but that was clearly the impression that he was giving. But there's even more deception and provocation to come in order to justify the intervention of U.S. and NATO troops in Libya. After all, there has to be some reason why the 2nd Marine Division was activated from Camp Lejeune last week and is already in transit to the Mediterranean. I think they're going to be used. Rebel leaders in the besieged city of Misrata are claiming that a, quote, massacre is going on because of some 23 civilian casualties harmed in an artillery barrage. Well, the U.S. regularly kills that many civilians in Afghanistan during airstrikes and offensive operations, and yet there have been, nobody claims that they, of course, are in a massacre. Well, perhaps the Afghanistans feel that way. And yet there have been beating the drums about this humanitarian crisis and claims that this level of casualties justifies ground troops. Army General Carter Ham told CBS News this week that while ground forces wouldn't be ideal, they may be a possible way to aid rebel troops. He admitted that the current operation is largely stalemated, and that's why the U.S. must conjure up a humanitarian reason for further intervention, because they don't want this thing to drag on forever. I think it's very clear, Stan, that the administration and the powers that be realize that Americans really are getting fed up with these expensive wars of intervention.
I think you're absolutely right, and they'll use the idea of a Holocaust or a slaughter, and they'll have pictures of little children and women are being killed, and they'll keep beating the drums about the children, so that we can justify sending in troops to get killed and to kill more children. And there's just no way when you have a war that children and women aren't going to get killed. That's why wars are terrible. That's why we have no business being over there trying to replace one government that we've supported. In fact, we put in place and kept in place for 40 years, and now we want to replace it. I mean, it should be so obvious what's going on, but most people simply read the New York Times, believe what they're told, and never stop and realize, of course, how they use the idea of civilians and women and children, especially children, to justify intervention and killing more children. Go ahead.
Well, just like Steve Scheuer, former CIA agent, was talking on CNN the other day, and he said, look, you know, every time we replace one of these dictators in Africa, we get one just as bad or worse. And it's true. He says very clearly, his democracy is never going to take hold in these countries. And he's absolutely right, because of the tribal nature of these things are always going to be subject to a strong man type thing. Even in the United States, we have trouble keeping people from doing hero worship and falling prey to the media making a hero out of somebody politically as a savior to try to save them. That happened with FDR and many others, but In Libya and in Africa, it's particularly bad, the strongman mentality. But Libyan rebels begged for more NATO airstrikes on Thursday, saying they faced a massacre. Notice the word again, massacre, from government artillery barrages on the besieged city of Misrata. But Western allies were squabbling over the air campaign. Rebels said a hail of Grad rockets fired by besieging forces were hit a residential district in Misrata. That's what supposedly killed 23 civilians. Aid organizations warn, there's those words again, a humanitarian disaster in Misrata if the U.S. doesn't intervene. The rebels certainly know how to play the civilian damage card. They talk about a massacre will take place here if NATO does not intervene. However, reports of casualties, frankly, have no independent verification because, of course, there are no independent journalists on the ground. Secretary Hillary Clinton raised the ante even further, expressing in a NATO meeting in Berlin that atrocities were occurring in Misrata, but gave no hint Washington was prepared to re-engage in airstrikes. Well, there are two fibs uttered here. One is the civilian casualties, which we call collateral damage when the U.S. does it, amount to atrocities. And, you know, that smacks of war crimes so that you can take Gaddafi to a war crimes tribunal. And the Washington Post is, and the fact that she claims that Washington is prepared to re-engage in airstrikes projects the false assumption that we stopped. We never did stop. Are we willing to subject ourselves, in the second case about atrocities, to the same standard when we create civilian casualties in Iraq and Afghanistan? I don't think so. Well, Clinton tried to put a good face over Western resolve, but stories coming out of Europe belie her claims. Several NATO members rebuffed calls from France and Britain to contribute more to the airstrikes conducted under a United Nations mandate. The U.S. officials said Allied commanders were not requesting greater resources. Well, that's another half-truth. It is true that the U.S. didn't need other military resources, and the European leaders know this. That's why they feel kind of put upon that they want the U.S. wants more of their machines, which cost money and wears out airplanes, to take part in these than the U.S. when the U.S. started this. But the U.S. is desperate to keep up the cover that NATO's running the show, hence the need for much more NATO weaponry, not because they need it militarily, because they need it for show purposes. French Defense Minister Gérard Longuet said this week Gaddafi's attack would not be stopped without U.S. participation in airstrikes and perhaps troops on the ground. And a French official cited Spain, Italy, and Netherlands, and Sweden, among other allies, who could do more but are refusing. And Spain said it had no plan to even join the seven NATO states that had conducted ground strikes, while Italy, Libya's former colonial power, expressed reluctance to launch attacks as well. So this is typical of European reluctance to participate in these international aspects. They know that the public won't tolerate it very much over there. The U.S. knows all too well that the shaky facade of the Allied unity will only carry the show for so long, and that's why it is essential to make the siege of Misrata out to be a massacre. Once the U.S. public is convinced something, quote, has to be done, the U.S. will be able to renege on the pledge of no troops and move an invasion force into Libya.
And we'll be right back in just a minute, but they're moving the Marines to Libya. The shores of Tripoli. We'll be back in a moment.
Alpha Plastics and Design in Fort Collins reminds listeners, consider giving the gift of life. Donate blood. Remember, the average shelf life of blood is only 42 days. A steady flow of blood is needed for accident victims, sick children, surgery patients, and members of the military. There is no substitute for blood. A shortage can mean loss of life. This message from Alpha Plastics and Design, 201 Rome Court in Fort Collins. Reminding everyone, life is the most precious gift you can give. So please, donate blood today. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, Drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, I understand. I guess this morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Briefs. Joel, go right on with the story.
Well, now we're going to talk about the role that Qatar plays in the false front NATO war with Libya. It tells us a lot about how desperate the U.S. is to hide our direction and involvement. Qatar is secretly supplying French-provided anti-tank missiles to the Libyan rebels as part of its strategy of working to overthrow the Gaddafi regime. Actually, it doesn't have a strategy at all. This was, I'm quoting from The Guardian. Doesn't have a strategy at all of overthrowing the Gaddafi regime. It's merely acting as a puppet for the Western powers. Officials in Doha, the capital of Qatar, confirmed that Gulf states military has been shipping French-made Milan missiles to the rebel strongholds of Benghazi. And that isn't even quite true. The missiles were coming directly from France. These weren't from any stock that were actually in Qatar at all. William Hague, Foreign Secretary of Britain, and his colleagues from the 21-nation Libya Contact Group endorsed Qatar's position, backing them up, of course, as part of the game that they play with the public. Hague insisted the U.K. would supply only non-lethal equipment, but that's why they're getting France to transship this stuff to Qatar, so that they can be off the hook. Gaddafi's government has repeatedly complained that the Qataris are supplying the rebels, which is now true. Rebel spokesman said they are in talks with friendly countries, including Qatar and France, to obtain more weapons. Qatar's armed forces are themselves equipped with the Milan, but Alani admitted that the weapons could have been, or more likely have been, bought by the Qataris directly from France and delivered to the Libyans without even entering Qatar waters. Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. Yes.
I was just going to say, I think it's important our listeners understand that there are not that many rebels. There's only looked into it, there seem to be about 1,000 rebels. The number of rebels is very, very small. This is not a major movement to overthrow Gaddafi. This is one that is being certainly financed and backed, I believe, by the CIA to overthrow the government, but I don't think this is a major popular movement. Do you?
Well, and as I pointed out in prior World Affairs Brief, it's almost impossible to have a prior movement when Gaddafi was an expert at buying off the public. Now, it's true that the people did not make a lot of money there, but there were more jobs being offered to Libyans and foreigners. I mean, they had over some 3 million foreigners in the country because of all the jobs that Libya was created in the oil industry and many others. He was paying off people with the oil money that he was getting so that everybody was getting a subsidy. I mean, it's pretty hard to overthrow a dictator that's throwing money out at you, and that's why the opposition is so small. Now, I'm not justifying Gaddafi. I mean, this is a typical African dictator. Has no business being there. But as I say, Africa, the tribal mentality of all of these tribes in Libya is unsuitable for democracy. They're always going to be told to vote and threatened to vote by their tribal leaders, and they're always going to be ruled by a strongman. So we really have no business being in there. We should take the actual libertarian position of Congressman Ron Paul and say, unless it's a direct threat to American sovereignty, we need to stay out of these affairs. Even though there are humanitarian crises, you can't fix everything in the world. It's just one of the facts of life. And If you do, there's nothing wrong with the government saying, you know, we encourage volunteers to go join and form volunteer forces to help free other countries. But when it's not a direct threat, we can't use tax monies. And, you know, so we ought to allow, you know, free-range armies, as long as, you know, they do not represent a threat internal to the country, to go and use buy weaponry on the private market and defend other people. That's a legitimate thing, just as it is to give private charity for welfare cases. But this is a slippery slope we are on. Nothing indicates that more than our turning on Yemen just this past week. The point was brought home to the Qataris, who, by the way, were just here with Barack Obama meeting, and I'm sure their talks included special privileges that would be granted to Qatar if they helped out with the Libyan thing. There's always buying influence. They may well have guarantees to Qatar that they wouldn't allow a revolt to overthrow their government. You know, that's how the U.S. has guaranteed the loyalty of Saudi Arabia all these years, is they've guaranteed that they won't try to undermine Saudi Arabia. In fact, they will keep any foreign forces and protect Saudi Arabia from being overthrown, despite the fact that the Saudi Arabian princes are extremely corrupt and do not live the law of Islam that they claim. But as I say, the point of the fragility between having the U.S. as your protector was brought home as the Obama administration turned on Yemen and called for the Saleh government to resign. Last month, Ali Abdullah Saleh was safely in a cozy relationship with the U.S., and now he's not. Saleh is no less tyrannical than Gaddafi, but it's not for the sake of consistency that they're ousting Saleh. It's part of a march of intervention across the entire area. And I wouldn't be surprised if Qatar eventually got the axe. Well, for now, Qatar is safe, but it too will be betrayed. It is a tiny, wealthy country with large oil resources, but it has to play both sides of the fence to survive, or at least that's the way it's been operating. That's why it maintains good relationships with Iran, also hosts key military bases. While playing up to the Arab world, it also has a secret liaison with Israel and Hamas. Al Jazeera, the false front organization, started out as the entire Arab bureau of the BBC left to form Al Jazeera. And we now know from certain whistleblowers that they all worked for British MI6. These were Arab people hired in Britain to staff the Arab sending portion of the Arabic BBC service, and they defected to form Al Jazeera. I don't believe, and I know you agree with me, Stan, that British MI6 still runs this, and most of everything that's happening in Libya has been run out of Britain, including what Lord James of Blackheath admitted to the House of Lords, that the British government was involved through the Bank of England of laundering hundreds of thousands of pounds in money to, or was it millions of pounds, to terrorists in North Africa. And I think what we're seeing right now is a result of these opposition groups that have been funded for many years by British and American sources.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's so important for our listeners to understand the point you're making, and that is that Al Jazeera, this supposedly radical Islamic news source and satellite transmission, is actually a British an intelligence operation. You always want a controlled opposition. When you understand that, why you can understand so much of what's going on today. Go right ahead, Joe.
Well, meanwhile, the BRICS nation, which that's emerging powers of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. You know, I don't really like this emerging powers thing. These are nothing more than the new modern communist bloc. Supposedly it doesn't exist anymore, so they use different titles. They're doing their best to, of course, express misgivings about NATO airstrikes and after talks in China this week. Naturally, the commies always do when the U.S. is doing the aggression, but not when they do it. They urge an end to the so-called no-fly zone, you know, just like all of the times when they would call for a ceasefire whenever their communist forces were losing against the pro-Western forces, and whatever the because that was the way to stop the pro-Western forces. And we would always make them stop so that the communists could regroup and eventually win. Well, the BRICS nation, working through their leftist allies in the African Union, made a play for a diplomatic solution this week. And Gaddafi accepted an African Union peace plan designed to get an immediate ceasefire. But that plan was presented to the opposition leaders, whoever they are, it never tells us. And the plan was rejected, presumably because Gaddafi or his sons would have some future role in Libya. Well, you know, Gaddafi was long a client of Soviet weapons, most of his tanks are T-72 and more modern ones as well as all of his armor. So the African Union is also composed of an assortment of communists and former communists from, like, South Africa's President Jacob Zuma. It was one of the worst terrorists in the world under the ANC. Mali, Uganda, which has a notorious reputation for strongman tyranny, and Denis Sassou Nguesso from the Congo, all strongmen with tyrannical powers. Well, the rejected diplomatic attempts by the left contrasted strongly in the sense that they were allowing a peaceful resolution, allowing Gaddafi to have some influence there. And we contrast that with the Middle Eastern working group that met in Qatar on Wednesday, all lackeys of the globalists. They called for, they're calling this an international contact group, and they demand that Gaddafi leave and voice support for the rebels, which they're obviously financing. And we don't know anything about them, frankly, other than the fact that they have been involved in Iraq, fighting American and British soldiers before. There are paid mercenaries. They've been fighting the Islamic cause. There are Mujahideen from African origin. And probably we would expect them to turn against the United States at some point as well. As further evidence of our claim last week that in the World Affairs Brief that a larger African destabilization plan is going on, Israel made a preemptive attack on the Sudan this week, which we feel will be the next target after Libya. It's just south of Libya. An unnamed senior military official in Israel confirmed, incredibly, on Wednesday that a Tuesday attack on Sudan was indeed carried out by the Israeli military. Now, the Israelis never admit to this, generally. The confirmation came, of course, after the Israeli military itself said no comment. But the official even said, it's not the first time we've attacked in Africa. This is an embarrassing admission for Israel, who, like the United States, strictly denies such black operations. Well, it's a presumed reference, that is, to the previous attack, to the one that happened in January of 2009, which likewise was not directly confirmed by the Olmert government, but confirmed by U.S. officials. The U.S. black operations coordinate all the time with the CIA or with the Mossad in Israel, because the Mossad often does black operations for the U.S. when the U.S. wants plausible deniability. That airstrike was initially reported to have killed 39 people, but the Sudanese state media later put the toll over 100. Now, many of those were civilians, Stan, but notice that Hillary Clinton was making no charges of atrocities against the Israeli government, only when, Gaddafi throws a few artillery shells into a residential neighborhood. We have to remember as well that the United States of America threw hundreds of thousands of tons of incendiary bombs against Dresden, purposely attacking the civilian areas. We killed hundreds of thousands of German people, and those were war atrocities as well. A lot of Americans don't realize that it wasn't just collateral damage. It wasn't the bombing of Dresden just missing the target. It was purposeful destruction of hundreds of thousands of German people. And they were no more guilty of understanding what Hitler was doing, nor capable of changing it, than we seem to understand or be capable of changing our own globalist government that's pushing us into more wars. In fact, I'm very disturbed that the same unthinking mentality occurs within conservative circles supporting our troops, just as they did in Germany about supporting the Wehrmacht and German troops as they were going into Russia, not realizing that there was an ulterior motive and purpose, and it wasn't really for defending the motherland. But I guess human nature is like it is and isn't going to change anytime soon.
I'm afraid it isn't, but I believe God is going to bring his judgment on America because the good people of America have refused to take a stand against the evil carried out by the wicked people who really run things behind the scenes, and men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And as I believe we're getting ready to launch a massive war against the Islamic world, and we're toppling all the governments over there to unite them under the radical Islamic leadership. So I think we're preparing for a war with the Muslim world. Everything's being done to get the Muslims to hate America and the West, and everything is being done to get the Christians in America to hate the Muslims and to tell us how terrible Sharia law is and how mistreated the women are. And certainly I don't agree with the Muslim faith or the Sharia law, but there is an organized program in America to get us to hate the Muslims. And when you see this being done, you know this is all in preparation for a much larger war with the Muslim world. Go right ahead.
That's right. You know, hiking
we'll
up the Muslim threat
with Joel
has been a problem.
All Suites in Fort Collins reminds everyone, pull together and donate blood today. If your health permits, please give blood now and again as often as you can. The shelf life of blood is only 42 days, and there must be a steady flow of donations to meet the demands of accident victim surgery patients and members of our military. This is a reminder courtesy of All Suites in Fort Collins. Satisfy your sweet tooth by stopping at 3307 South College Avenue, where they're encouraging everyone to donate blood today.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan here, American Freedom Network, and certainly our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and how they can get your books on strategic relocation and the secure home?
Thank you, Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. The books are also available on my website, joelskousen.com. I have three books, the The Secure Home, 700 pages, big as a telephone book, everything about secure construction in the new residence, of retreat, of as well as complete self-sufficiency for energy, whether it's solar generators, water power, wind power, or wood-powered devices. Just a great resource for people to get prepared. My biggest selling book now, of course, is the brand-new third edition of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. The all-new third edition has colored maps and about 75% new text from the original edition, plus an entire section about retreating to various countries outside the nation as well. And the third book I have is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. It's an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within an existing basement. Those three books are available from Radio Liberty as well.
By calling 800-544-8927. And we carry the books. They're moving very well. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, ending up and transitioning to the budget problem, Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat of California and a certified public accountant, said in his opening remarks to the Foreign Relations Committee hearing on reforming the UN that the White House is dramatically underestimating the cost of the nation's military involvement in Libya by relying on misleading accounting. That effort is costing us billions a week. Well, that's a good transition, of course, into the budget games. Both the White House and the Republicans are playing the game of who can tackle the budget deficit without really cutting spending. It's neither politically possible to raise taxes or cut entitlements, nor anything else, it seems. That didn't stop Obama, of course, from doing another grandstanding political speech this week on the budget. Although I'm no fan of Republican Chairman Ryan's proposal, he did have the best rebuttal of Obama's budget sophistry. But one of the interesting things is that there really isn't a budget cut of $38 billion. It's talk about accounting games. The truth is that the great budget crisis, which supposedly took us to the verge of a government shutdown, was just a whole bunch of political theater. Even the Associated Press is declaring that our politicians used accounting sleight of hand to reach the $38.5 billion budget cut figure. And it's not even that $38.5 billion is an impressive number to begin with. It's only 1% of the federal budget. Once you strip away the accounting charades, the real budget cut number is somewhere around $14 billion. It turns out that the budget cuts include money left unspent from previous years, earmarks that were going nowhere, unused census money, and programs that Obama was already planning to cut. The more you examine the budget deal, the more it becomes obvious that Republicans and Democrats have no intention of doing anything serious about the debt problems. The U.S. is still going to run a record-setting deficit in 2011, and both Republicans and Democrats are to blame. But Lou Rockwell really put it in perspective when he said, in the first place, no one's talking about actual cuts. Not even the supposedly radical Republicans. These are cuts in projected spending, meaning that everyone is dealing with symbolic changes in a future that is just as symbolic. Even on paper, the only way to consider these cuts is to compare them with the GDP and in the national debt, both of which are slated to rise. So forgetting these two metrics and looking at the actual numbers, there are no cuts at all and only increases.
And the thing is that they're going to spend us into bankruptcy and destroy this nation. You can destroy a nation by getting it so far into debt and then taking us into more wars that eventually you cannot no longer afford it and the whole structure of government collapses. You can't, have massive entitlement programs, massive military spending indefinitely without having to simply dilute the amount of money. You can't cut taxes to increase spending. Eventually, the whole monetary system is going to collapse.
Well, that's right. And, it is inevitable. These things can't keep going. They will milk it as far as possible. And as your listeners probably know, my major theory is that they're going to throw a world war at us where the United States will get attacked, and that will give them an excuse to actually wipe away the debt. Well, let's talk a little bit about one of the top stories of this past week is Glenn Beck finally getting the axe from Fox News. Alex Jones was the only one who openly predicted this was coming and soon, he said. I felt it was only a matter of time, but Jones had some inside context that knew at least a month ago that the axe was coming down on Beck. Jones had made numerous open overtures to try and help steer Beck towards a more principled and consistent approach in criticizing our government. He wrote as far back as, Joseph Paul Watson, one of his staff writers, wrote as far back as September 15, 2009, Alex Jones had addressed Glenn Beck in the form of an open letter and appealed to him to be on the right side of history by using his growing public platform to tell the truth rather than exploiting it to deceive grassroots conservatives and libertarians into following the rebirth of neocon agenda that Beck has embraced all along. Well, that's been my criticism of Beck for a long time. While his mentor was my uncle, W. Cleon Skousen, the great champion and educator about the Constitution, and Beck was a sincere believer in the restraints of the Constitution, but could easily get swayed into supporting the government version of foreign policy. Beck's research was often very good, if it was involving, an attack on communists or leftists in the Obama administration, but it was superficial and weak when it came to discerning the false flag nature of the war on terror or how his hyping of the Islamic threat played into the hands of the neocons who were provoking and helping to grow that threat around the world to justify intervention. But the more he started to hone into the globalist forces in the New World Order, most recently talking about George Soros, the more he was coming to the conclusion that there was some kind of conspiracy in the world. Like most old-line conservatives, it's easy to believe in the communist conspiracy, but much harder to see the conspiracy of our own leaders to lead us into the New World Order and the demise of national sovereignty. Now, since Beck had so often maligned those who believed in a government conspiracy in the World Trade Center attacks or FEMA camps, which he, by the way, came very close to admitting and then backed off, I think he was on a collision course with those indicators that clearly pointed to a New World Order conspiracy that he was seeing in his own unwillingness to admit he was wrong about specific conspiracies he had denied. Perhaps the powers that be in establishment media who control Fox as well as the more liberal CNN and MSNBC correctly saw that it was only a matter of time before Beck put it all together. It must have been disconcerting for them to see Beck sifting through and taking leads from Alex Jones, though he gave no credit to Jones. Both Alex Jones and Glenn Beck tend to dwell on the flamboyant.
Be back in just a moment here. The American disaster.
Alpha Design Group and Lori McMarin and staff in Greeley remind all community members the average shelf life of blood is only 42 days. A steady flow of blood is needed for accident victims, sick children, surgery patients, and members of the military. There is no substitute for blood. A shortage can mean loss of life. This message is from Alpha Design Group and Lori McMurrin and staff in Greeley. Call 970-352-4194. They're urging you to be a silent hero. Donate blood today.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
There's a trend underway at America's farms, ranches, and rodeos, and that trend is to Tartar Farm and Ranch, the nation's number one manufacturer of farm and ranch equipment. Tartar offers hundreds of top-quality American-made products for ranchers, ropers, hunters, and every type of farmer, horses, cattle, or goats, for work, for hobby, or both. Visit TartarFarmAndRanch.com for all of our products and a dealer near you. Tartar Farm and Ranch, working harder since 1945.
Well, I stand back here, last segment of our program with Joel Skousen this morning, and I thought it was so interesting that it was very, very shortly after Glenn Beck had Ed Griffin on talking about the creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve System, how the central banks rule the world, that the axe finally came down. Maybe it was just all ready to come down, but certainly the last thing that the powers that be want is for the American people to understand how the banking system really runs the governments of the world. But go ahead, Joel.
Well, I think that is a very relevant thing. I'm sure the decision was made many, many months ago. It was just a matter of how to make it look good to or look somewhat justified. Here's how the but I'm sure that he was heading in that direction. There's no way that you can have J. Edward Griffin on and not get a credible understanding that there is a conspiracy to control money through the Federal Reserve, and that's going to lead to other conspiracy theories eventually on. And so I think that's a problem for the establishment, because people need to realize that Rupert Murdoch owns Fox, and it's very much a globalist controlled network. Even though it gives a conservative point of view, and it appears to be against the liberals, they've always done this, is control both sides and give you a partial view. And as long as you don't actually broadcast real hard truths, which certainly Hannity and O'Reilly don't do, they're very hostile to conspiratorial views. But Glenn Beck, I don't think he's actually on the other side like I think Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and O'Reilly are, but I think that Glenn Beck is open to it, and it was just a matter of time. Now, it'll be really telling to see what he does when he goes off and becomes an independent here. But anyway, Glenn Beck, according to AP, will end his Fox News Channel talk, which has sunk in ratings and has suffered from an advertiser boycott. So I want to discuss a couple of those things, too, which are very important. The advertising boycott was to be expected. Mainstream companies abhor controversy unless it's in support of something green or gay, if you know what I mean. They get deluged with mail and worry about a boycott or a drop in sales. They're especially susceptible to phone calls from other movers in the industry subtly threatening them. Beck said ratings for his television show were not an issue, noting that we have buried the competition in every sense. His supporters believe that the recent decline is more a reflection that ratings were abnormally high last year. Now, that's true. Those high ratings couldn't be sustained because they were in part based on something new and exciting that was happening on television. But his core 2 million viewers per day have been remarkably faithful, and that's a big group that cannot be dismissed. Call CNN and MSNBC and ask them if they'd like to have Glenn's rating at 5 in the afternoon, and you bet they all would. Nobody gets those kind of ratings. So even though it's dropped almost 30%, it's still higher than most. Beck's ratings began to suffer after his big promotion on the mall, but that always happens to someone like Beck, who makes his reputation on the flamboyant and off-the-wall shocking stories. When you don't have a calmer side, and everything has to be super big story to match your style and reputation, you end up hyping things and making too much of things sometimes. It's set Beck up for criticism many times, some undeserved and some deserved. Beck himself admitted as much Tuesday when he said, "How many times can I tell the George Soros story?" referring to the liberal globalist that has financed much of the evil in the world. So you see the point. You need to be able to discuss news that isn't always flamboyant or hyped or big news or end of the world news, and that's where, when you make your reputation on that, you're destined to fall down because you can't keep up that pace. Well, Beck was a quick burn, said AP on Fox News. Almost immediately after joining the network in 2009, he doubled the ratings in his afternoon time slot. Fans found his conservative populism entertaining. He was popular with Tea Party activists and drew thousands of people to the National Mall in Washington. His restoring honor. Actually, I thought it was rather dull, Stan, since he didn't hit the crucial issues. He backed off in order to, because it was going to be televised, not to appear, you know, too radical. Yet some of his statements were getting him in trouble, and critics appealed to advertisers to boycott his show after he said President Barack Obama had a deep-seated hatred for white people. So even if that were true, it's not productive to say it, because Obama's greatest danger to America is being a puppet to those who control government. Even Obama's original leftist tendencies aren't what's ruling today. He's following his globalist masters and taking us deep into future wars. Well, Roger Ailes, Fox News chairman and CEO, supposedly was helpful to Beck, but I think he was just waiting for the time to can him. It's pretty telling when Ailes responded to questions of why the separation with Beck, and he said, half of the headlines say he's been canceled, the others say he quit. We're pretty happy with both of them. I'll bet they are, and the so-called specials that Beck will produce in the future for Fox News will no doubt be tamer, and or they won't get aired. Beck, who outlined on Wednesday show his reasons for believing we're headed into a deep and treacherous waters, told his viewers at the end of the show that his Fox talk show would conclude, "I will continue to tell the story, and I will be showing other ways for us to connect," he said. What's in the future for Glenn Beck? Beck has built a powerful brand for himself through his daily radio show, best-selling books, and personal appearances. Mercury Radio Arts is expanding, and a key Fox executive, that's his company, Mercury Radio Arts. Joel Cheatwood is joining the company later this month. Beck's company created and operated news and opinion site The Blaze. So he's got a lot going for him. I think he's going to go and form kind of an independent network. He still has a lot of money. It was rumored to be raking in about $40 million a year at Fox. I hope he does something big, but if he does, he'll find that the closer he gets to the real truth about the deep and treacherous waters he warns about, he will discover conspiracy at the root, and telling those truths are anathema to all but the hardiest of American listeners, and he'll also find few advertisers willing to market to America's growing remnant of hardcore conservatives. And that's why, you know, our audience, Stan, is small, it's fervent, and it's loyal, but, you know, when we talk openly about conspiracy, you can never gain major funding or advertising dollars. And so Beck will have to choose. Either he'll go big time and have to soften, or if he goes towards the Alex Jones route. And Alex Jones is the largest independent radio talk show network on the net.
And he's doing a great job, as you are too, and we'll just do as long as we can, and we'll reach the people God wants us to reach. God bless. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week, Joe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Steve. 11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stock, certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their head. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group.
Well, it's Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the news.